Today is March 28th, 2019. My name is Emily Stenuto, and I am interviewing Physician's Assistant Tim Hauntz at Glen Morgan, West Virginia, for my first year seminar class at Marshall University. Our FYS class has been focusing on the themes of critical thinking, the power and value of asking well-crafted questions, storytelling, and the stories we tell in response to those well-crafted stories. Frank Sesno's book, Ask More, has served as inspiration for this interview. This interview will be focused on the theme of occupation, physician's assistant. Mr. Hauntz, thank you for agreeing to be interviewed.
Just wait 1 second.
Yes.
Can you pause that?
Yeah. Tell me about yourself, what you do for a living, how long you've been a PA, how long you've worked here, a little bit about yourself.
So I've been a PA for about 2 years. I graduated from the University of Charleston. I work in family medicine, internal medicine, in an outpatient clinic setting where we basically treat chronic conditions as well as acute conditions that show up in our patient population. I'm a father of five, and I am active in my church at Maxwell Hill Baptist Church, and just enjoy this new field of medicine.
Have you always wanted to be a PA or work in the medical field?
In high school and elementary school, I remember wanting to be an emergency room physician. And when I went to college for the first year, I was planning to get some prerequisites as well as get a foundation in Bible so that I could use medicine in an international setting. And while I was there, I was involved in a whole bunch of music, and I kept getting involved in more. And so for my first undergraduate degree and then my first graduate degree, I studied music, and I worked in the church setting doing choirs and church music, and I enjoyed it, but I always had this nag that I still wanted to do medicine, and so I eventually decided to go back to become a PA, and now that I'm doing it, I'm glad I made that decision.
So the educational steps to becoming a PA, you mentioned them briefly. Can you go over them a little bit more?
So a PA with the undergraduate training can be quite broad. Most people study biology or some sort of a pure science. Maybe they come from nursing or paramedic or some kind of a paramedical field. My own, like I said, I had a degree in theology and a degree in music, and so that didn't give me a whole bunch of the prerequisites, so I had to go back and I had to pick up all the prerequisites, which each university distinguishes their own desired prerequisites, but all of them are going to have human anatomy and physiology, biology, chemistry, and some different things like that. And so then after those prerequisites were met, then I took the graduate record exam, which most programs require you to do, and then started the interview process.
What were some of your past occupations, and how did they influence your job now?
So, like I said, I used to work in church music. I did private lessons with voice and piano students. I taught in elementary and high schools and did that. And I think my last occupation in music was actually at a college teaching music. And so I think that a good primary care provider does a lot of teaching because they are encouraging their patients to change some aspect of their lifestyle so that their health can be improved. And I think trying to understand where the patient's coming from so that you're able to communicate well makes a difference. I think that my music background, actually, a good musician will work tirelessly over one or two measures. And so understanding that perfection maybe is a strong word, but understanding that the little details matter, I think, is huge with a music background. So I think that that's something that's helped me. But then working in the church, you're of course working with people who have needs and problems, and understanding that what you see on the outside might not be what you are really dealing with on the inside. And so a lot of people are hurting, but they hide it well. Mm-hmm. And I think that that understanding to not be judgmental and critical really is necessary in medicine also.
Mm-hmm. So walk me through an average day at your job. What happened?
An average day. I do outpatient Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock kind of hours. And so an average day is just, you know, a lot of the patients have been scheduled on your schedule for weeks or months. You come in, you review their previous chart, review labs that might have been done this last week, maybe some imaging, and then you go into the appointment with a plan of making sure that they're continuing on their meds, have things changed, and then you might, you know, have to get new labs or images based on what they tell you. Some patients are a work in progress, and so you're continually modifying the way that you treat them based on what you now see. Some patients are very, very easy to deal with because they've been on the same medical regimen for years, mm-hmm. and they're stable, and that's an easy visit. And then during my day, they will likely add patients on who are sick. So you might have a patient with the flu, or you might have a patient who, you know, fell down and their wrist hurts, or who knows what. And so then, you know, the acute visits, you're likely going to be dealing with, you know, giving them x-rays or things to see if there's a problem with what just happened. And so you can't really prepare for that too much. And it's just that. I do a lot of, when I get the labs, it's going to take a couple days for them to come back. Imaging, the same thing. And so even though I'm seeing patients today, I'm going to be dealing with labs from patients that I've seen over the past 3 to 4 days. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be dealing with, you know, call this patient, tell them their lab says this, and this is now my new plan for them, or whatever. And so it's a lot of the same thing, but within that framework, you're constantly learning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always seeing things that I've never seen before. I'm always getting labs that seem a little bit more difficult to interpret or stuff. So medicine's very collaborative. I have the opportunity to work with some fantastic colleagues in the office, and sometimes we'll talk about what I see, and then other times I'll have to send them to specialists and know that they'll take care of them also.
So you said you do family med and internal medicine. Does that allow you to see a wide variety of age groups?
Generally called primary care, I'm able to see either gender.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my patients are adults. Yep. So I see generally patients age 18 and above.
Mm-hmm.
However, in acute visits, I will see teenagers all the time. I will see children. I don't see very many infants,
yep.
but that's just because of the physician I work with. Her background is internal medicine, which is more an adult
yep.
specialty.
Yep. Okay, what aspects of your job do you find the most rewarding and the most challenging?
I mean, the most rewarding is when you can see people who were sick
yeah.
and they no longer are.
Definitely.
Especially chronic diseases. You know, I just a couple weeks ago had a patient who had tons of stuff wrong with him, and in the end it was just that his sugar was so, so high. And within 2 weeks, all of these symptoms just started to go away because his blood sugar was coming back into normal range.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing that he was unable to be at work, unable to be a dad because he was dealing with all these, and now his life's come back, that's exciting.
Yes.
Challenging is, either really difficult diagnosis.
Yes.
You know, people with cancer, or people that are dealing with stuff that the end result doesn't look good, or
mm-hmm.
patients who are non-compliant can become frustrating because you know what they could have for a life, and because of choices they make, it's not getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of hard to deal with sometimes.
Yes. How has your job changed since you first entered the field, and what do you expect it to look like in the next 10 years?
Well, as far as the second question, in the next 10 years,
yeah.
the PA profession is continually being rated as one of the best professions to be in.
Wow.
Primarily, I think, because there's supposed to be an expected physician shortage. And in primary care especially, although PAs are very well-trained to move into different areas
yes.
and specialties, they're able to fill in some of those gaps. In rural medicine and some poor neighborhoods, it's often difficult to attract primary care physicians. And so the job opportunity, the outlook from every resource that I can see looks very good for physician assistants, and so that's good. I've only been doing this for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
but even in the 2 years, there have been changes, not so much in West Virginia in the physician assistant realm. Across the country there are some changes politically and things like that, but medicine itself, everybody, if you go into medicine, realizes that it changes continually. So
okay.
guidelines for multiple things have changed. Screening practices have changed. Medicines that I used in the beginning are now replaced with something that's better.
Yes.
Vaccinations have changed. So you're continually learning, continually adapting to what's available. And I think that's one of the reasons, as a past educator, I love to continually learn. And I think this job, you have to do it, but mm-hmm. if you do, I think it's more fulfilling.
Yeah. You mentioned you had a family. How has this job impacted your family life? Or just your personal life in general?
Well, I think my family, one thing that happened when I changed careers was my wife used to work at the college as a music faculty yeah. member as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we homeschool our children, and by me changing, that gave her the opportunity to not have to work the whole time. So for my family, that's a big plus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I use my knowledge and skill base as a physician assistant all the time with my kids. When they're sick or they're hurt, I'm better able to triage and say, well, maybe, you know, we might need to go to the hospital on this, but this doesn't need worked up. Where before, I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
And even my immediate family, from my parents to my aunt and uncle to my grandparents, you know, I get calls all the time with different things that are going on in different people's lives, which is helpful to be able to offer support.
Mm-hmm. What has this job taught you about the world, how other people interact? Maybe has it changed your values any?
I don't think so. People are people. And mm-hmm. like I said, I worked in the church, and you work in education, and in the public, in the private setting, and everywhere you go, there's going to be people that frustrate you, and there's going to be people that are easy to get along with. There's going to be people that follow the rules and people that don't. And, you know, I just think medicine, of course, is a people job. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like people, it's probably not a good place. But, you know, I think that I learned a long time ago to try not to be judgmental for my perspective, to try and help and just be supportive. And I think, for the most part, most patients are very happy when mm-hmm. when they realize you're there to help them, even if you don't give them what they necessarily expected you to or wanted. You know, I think of antibiotics. A lot of people want antibiotics for everything, and you know, you have to say, this isn't what's best for you, and here's the science behind it. And if they see that you're trying to help them, I think that most patients are pretty accepting.
Mm. What advice do you have for someone who would like to become a PA?
Study hard. Make sure that your grades are good. Make sure that you have good science grades. Make sure that you have researched the institutions you would like to apply to, so that you know that you have fulfilled their core requirements. Make sure that you are involved in medicine in some way. That's really one thing that sets people apart in the process. So, you know, if you can become a phlebotomist, or if you can become a patient caregiver or a paramedic or something that gets you that hands-on experience, colleges are looking for that, you know, before they invite you into their PA program. I would also say shadow and make sure that you understand what they do and if that's really what you want.
Mm-hmm.
The admissions process to PA school is difficult. The competition is intense, and honestly, there are tons of probably fantastic candidates who would do well, and there just aren't enough seats, and they don't make it.
Mm.
And so, my own experience, I didn't get in the first cycle. Be tenacious. Try again. Make yourself better. Figure out what your weakest area is, and how can you fix that. And I think that, you know, if you want something bad enough, you'll find a way to make it happen.
So as I said, our first year seminar class is focused on critical thinking. What is an example of critical thinking in your line of work? So, like an example.
I mean, critical thinking is constant. As
yeah.
soon as you...
It's everywhere.
Yeah, you get a patient who comes in who has abdominal pain.
Mm-hmm.
Before you ever go in that room, at least the way I do it, is I'm starting to think of what are the different possibilities. We call it a differential diagnosis.
Okay.
What is it that this patient could have going on? And then I have to come up with, now what questions can I elicit from this patient, using questions to either rule in or rule out these different possibilities based on how long, how severe, where in the belly, you know, what other symptoms are going on. And then you get it down to a certain few. And then from there, is there imaging? Is there labs that I can do to now, you know, get me closer to the final diagnosis? So you're constantly, I think in medicine, if you don't like critical thinking, not a field for you, but constantly you're going down many, many paths to figure out what's going on. And then when you figure out what's going on, there's usually more than one way to treat it. So sometimes watchful waiting, sometimes you have to be aggressive, and there's lots of reasons why you might go one way over the other. And so that's why I guess they say the art and science of medicine, because mm-hmm. you know, the science, we get to the final answer hopefully, but then, you know, each clinician is going to have to come up with what's the best for this patient, which might not be the best for patient B in the same situation. So it's a little bit tricky, but kind of fun.
And then this is the final question. What would you like to add that I haven't asked? What would you like the world to know about PAs that they might not know?
Well, I think part of the thing that at least I've run into a little bit is just understanding what a PA can and can't do.
Yes.
Knowing that a PA is trained to be able to do much of the medical practice. So in other mm-hmm. words, they are able to do a physical exam, they are able to take and elicit a history, they are able to order tests, they are able to interpret those tests, they are able to prescribe medication or prescribe physical therapy or other therapies, they are able to fill out most of these government forms that are needed for, you know, healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, some people, they see our name, physician assistant, and they see an assistant and they assume that we aren't able to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, just an education of what the career can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to know that the process for becoming a PA is very strenuous and very academically challenging. And, you know, all PAs are tested and board certified. And so through that, I think that there's some comfort that you can trust that they've been through a process that's trained them to deal with lots of these, you know, medical things that come up, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for this interview. I really appreciate it.